I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth o'er everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm in His sheltering arms, living by faith and feel no alarm. No tempest may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of life. I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at the strife. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evils betide. Why should I then care though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close by my side? Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, from all in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. Our Lord will return to the earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that blessed heavenly shore. Amen. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Safe from all harm in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm.
Amen. Well, good to see you this morning. I hope your faith is strong. And it's so good to be here this morning, worshiping, fellowshipping together, and most of all, praising our Lord and Savior. Amen. And such a beautiful day, nice cool morning, and man, just a gorgeous day. God has blessed us. You know, every Sunday that we've had this parking lot service, God has always blessed us with an opportunity to do it. Amen. He's gave us beautiful days. I mean, we have one day where it kind of lightened and thundered a little bit, but you know, we just had it that evening and it worked out just fine. And so, but God has been good to us. And so I'm so glad you're here this morning. And I know there's some people out this morning on vacation, I think. Some people on Zoom this morning. But Jesse's going to bring our announcements. And all right.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, so our announcements for today. I am going to remind you that we are going to have Sunday school for the children at 9 o'clock every Sunday, either in the fellowship hall or on the parking lot. There is children's Bible quizzing in the fellowship hall. Wednesday nights at 6:30 and Sunday nights at 5. We're still doing Zoom on Wednesday, or with Bible study, Zoom or in person, Wednesday nights at 6:30 and Friday nights at 6:30 as well.
Excuse me. Can I say something? Okay. I didn't want to interrupt her. Hey, our Friday night Bible study, we kicked off the book of Romans this past. It was so good to really dig in to the book. I mean, the book of Romans has got so much stuff in it. And, man, we just really had a good study. So don't miss out on that. You know, it's good to just read through and study together. And I really enjoyed it. And, I you know, it's like I told the group, it's not about how many people that we have in the group. It helps me. I love to just read and study and talk it out with other people. And it's just really encouraging. And it's really a faith builder to get and dig into the Word. And so I encourage you guys to join in with the Bible study, or just start your own Bible study. Amen? I'm okay. I mean, start your own Bible study. Dig into the Word and read it. I'm sorry, Jesse. Go ahead.
Okay. So we are still taking donations for new chairs in the sanctuary. Again, if you'd like to help out with this, if you mark your check or the envelope with chairs. Next Sunday, we will have Alabaster Sunday, our Alabaster offering. And on the back of the little paper in the bulletin, it looks like we are updating our church records. If you could fill this out and give it to either Verna or Wendy so we can have correct information for everybody, that would be great. Our grocery giveaway is Saturday, September 26th from 10 a.m. to noon. If you do want to donate to this or donate money or food, there's a list of what we're currently taking. And if you could drop it off in the fellowship hall or at church in general by Wednesday, September 23rd, so they can package everything up so it can be ready for that morning, that would be great. Our birthdays this week, the Clayton Ramage, Yvonne Graham, Glenda Saharis, and Jeff Sadler.
Hey. Thank you, Jesse. All right. Well, let's continue on with our worship this morning. And like I said, it's such a beautiful day. And we can just look around and know that God is real, can't we? Be lifted up. As we bow down, be lifted up, be lifted up, be lifted up. Rejoice, let the nations be glad, let the whole earth tremble, for you are God. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted.
Yeah. must rejoice. Let the nations be glad.
Let the whole earth tremble, for you are God.
Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up.
Amen.
As we bow down, be lifted up.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all the grace, all the mercy, Lord, for the wonderful blessings that you've bestowed in our lives. Lord, we just lift you up this morning, Lord. We just humble ourselves. We bow down before you. Lord, we praise you again this morning. Lord, be with us. Let your Holy Spirit be in control this morning. Melt the hearts of stone. Change the leper's spots. Lord, only you can do that because you are a creator. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We love you, Lord, and we just want to praise you and honor you. Amen. 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 God is so good. Amen.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells me of one's loving heart can feel my deepest woe. And sorrow bears a heart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Sing verse 3.
It tells me what my Father had in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, shine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Amen. Amen. Good song. Amen. Oh, man.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to
till the end of yourself. Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. For Him, for He is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure found.
Amen. Praise His holy name this morning. If you're hurting this morning, if you need Jesus in your life, maybe you need Him more abundantly in your life, there's no better time than right now.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Oh, awesome. Man. Oh, man. Amen. The girls are going to come and sing, or they're already here. They don't have to come. You know, you get so used to doing things one way, you know, and we're still kind of awkward about this. But, you know, I just think that that's what being a Christian's all about. Serving the Lord is doing things differently, it seems like, all the time, and making the best of it. And that's what He wants us to do, no matter where we're at. You know, when we look at Paul's example, and we went through the book of Acts in our Bible study, and we saw what he went through and the things that he did, and the travel, you know, wasn't like he just jumped on a plane and flew over to here or jumped in a car and drove here. He traveled for months and months on end just to get to one place to the other. And sometimes he met hardships with that. There were shipwrecks, and sometimes there was beatings. Sometimes there was imprisonment, many times. But yet he kept going. He made the best of every situation. And in every situation, he praised God for even being a part of that. And I would say, you know, during this time that we're dealing with all this mess, and even beyond this, even before, we are still dealing with mess. But dealing with all this, this is nothing compared This is nothing. But we can just take this and we can praise the Lord. We can take this situation. We can just lift His name up and praise Him. And just, that's what He wants from us. You know? Amen? Go ahead, girls. Amen.
Will you guys stand with us as we worship today?
Yes.
Nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. Come close.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.
Get my mic turned back up here.
Amen.
Man, it's warm out here. Is it just me? Huh? I wore this long sleeve shirt this morning, and it's the first long sleeve shirt I think I've worn in a while because it's been so hot, you know. And then this morning, yesterday morning was really cool outside. It was really cool out. And then early this morning, it was so beautiful out this morning. But this morning, today I want to talk to you about an example that we have. And, you know, we as parents, we want to leave a good example for our kids, or we as grandparents, or, you know, I'm not a grandparent yet, praise the Lord, but that day's coming, one of these days, you know, one of these days, one day in the far future, okay? Anyway, I'll leave that alone. But my point is, we want to leave a good example, and we also, as Christian leaders, we want to leave a good example in our communities. We want to leave a good example for each other, and that's part of it, right? But whose example are we following? You know, whose example? Christ is our example. Christ is our example, not only in word, but in deed. As we can walk as Christ walked, we can talk as Christ talked, and it's not a condition of one's feet or lips, it's a condition of our heart. It's not about the body, it's about the heart. It's about the spirit. And before we can walk as Christ walked and talked as he talked, we must first think as Christ thought. Amen? And all action is a result of our thoughts. Your actions are produced by what you think. Amen? You know, every thought must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Every thought must be brought into obedience. You know, we must apply this. You know, this requires an act of consecration with a purpose, okay? And this consecration with a purpose, you know, we've got to apply that all the time. All the time. And, you know, it's for the mind who loves, you know, let me say that like this. I don't want to be confusing, but, you know, our minds wander about all kinds of things. We're here, and our thoughts just go here and there. We see things, and I'll tell you, you know, yesterday, Lee and I was at the Farmstead store, the Mennonite store, and out front they have probably 30 of these wind chimes, and we were looking at their mums. They got these big old beautiful mums out there. If anybody hasn't seen them, they're beautiful. And so we were looking at those, and all of a sudden the wind blew, and all those chimes started chiming off at one time. And it was kind of one of those things that you hear in some kind of spooky horror movie. And I was like, man, that sounds kind of creepy. And Leanne said, you know, if we didn't watch stuff like that, those thoughts wouldn't have come to your mind. Whoa. And I told her, and I will say this, I admit, I'm going to tell you the truth right here up front. I don't watch horror movies. I don't. But because of other shows that I've watched, things like that, or, you know, you hear that and they're like, ooh, that's creepy, you know. I never was one to watch those horror movies unless it was, you know, the old black and white ones, you know, with Count Dracula and the Mummy and the Werewolf and those. Now, I've watched those back in, but it was always that eerie music, you know, the organ would play eerie music or something. So that those things, just like what Leanne was saying, you know, but I'll go on. I'll get off that right there. So in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious." They're obvious. Now listen to that. The acts of the flesh are obvious. It says it's sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish, ambition, dissension, factions, oh man, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. It said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. No, he doesn't say it three times, but I did. Against such thing there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Wow. Man, those are strong words there in Galatians, aren't they? But, you know, there's a lot of strong words in the Scripture that sometimes we want to overlook because it hurts. It hits us hard because we understand it. And, you know, when we are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you have two minds. In the new creation, you have the mind of God, and in the old, you have the carnal mind, the carnal nature. You know, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says. So we, by a determined act of our will, must let His mind be our mind. Hear me this morning. Then we will have control. Only through Him can we gain control. You know, our mind, a sane mind can remember that your actions are a product of your thoughts. And that's what I was talking about when Lee and I, you know, when Lee brought that comment up. It was good. It really was. I'm like, you know, that really is a good comment because it's really a true statement. The things that we put into our mind comes out of our mind at times. You know, Jesus said that whatever comes out of the mouth of man comes from his heart. Woo. Man, those are tough words. You know, is it possible to lead a victorious thought life? Yeah, it is. It's possible. And this does not mean that Satan can't come in and give evil suggestions because we know that we're tempted. But we can refuse to dwell on his evil thoughts. You know, we can refuse to dwell on what is evil. We have that choice. You know, a sane mind is a controlled mind. I say that, you know, we need to be sane Christians. Filling the mind with right thoughts can drive out evil thoughts. The more good stuff you put in, the more good stuff's going to come out. The more junk you put in, guess what? That junk's going to come out. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report." If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, on these things. You know, evil thoughts will come, and thoughts of lust and thoughts of violence. Listen to me, these things come. You know, they do. They come. They come uninvited into our mind. You know, and no matter, you can't hardly watch TV without seeing stuff that don't create a thought in your mind that can lead to evilness, to unrighteousness. And, you know, so we have to be careful with what we watch and how much of what we watch. You drive them out, you know, but if you entertain those thoughts, sometimes it'll lead you to obey those thoughts, and then it'll lead you to sin. So we have to drive them out by filling your mind with things that are good, things that are righteous, and things that are honest. And that's why I was saying, you know, our Bible study, you know, it's been really good because it puts us in a place where we can just sit openly and just read the scripture and just ponder on it and think about it. So the more of that we put into our... So who's the living word? Jesus Christ is the word. Man, and the more of that word that we can put into our minds, the more of that word that we can put into us, the more that word will come out of us. Amen? Listen to me. That's why it's so important to read your Bible every day. Dig into the word and read, because when you do that, you're putting Jesus Christ into you. Jesus' thoughts. You know, when Jesus thought right, and the result was that he walked right and talked right when he was here on this earth. 1 Peter 2:21 says, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. What did he do? He was a man who did no sin. That's what the scripture says. You know, Christ did not live in a place of habitual sin every day, and he did not make an excuse for sin. And so many people want to make up excuses for why they did something wrong. And he resisted the devil. He resisted the temptation, the man who knew no sin. Hebrews 4:15, he says he knew no sin, even though he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted just like you are every day. Every day. I know I'm not alone, but I'm tempted every day. Every day. But I don't act upon those things every day, right? Amen? Because I try to keep my life full of good things. I keep my life full of the Word. I keep my life full of what's pure and what's honest. I try to really hard. I have to. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John 3:6. You know, this is kind of what most churches don't even teach anymore. That most religions, you know, I believe are powerless because of it. This is why there's no deliverance. That's why there's no really true salvation. Why? Because they're still looking after the carnal nature, because they're not seeking the mind of Christ. You know, we have to seek the mind of Christ, and we must hear, know, believe, and live in this truth. And if you are to have power with God, we are not called to just follow a tradition. We must look into the scripture as if it were like it's never been seen before, and we must see the path that we are on, or the path that we're to walk. That's what the word's about. It's an instruction book. It's an example left for us, so we know how we should act, so we know how we should talk, so we know how we should walk. And I believe that our church, I believe that our doctrine, you know, I agree with it. That's why I am a Nazarene pastor. You know, honestly, because I believe that we can live above that sin. We can. But we can only do that through the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit. It's it. It's the only way you can do it. To abide in Christ is to walk in the Spirit of God. To abide in Christ is to resist the devil. John 4:7 says, resist the devil. It is to give no place to the devil. Give no place for him. You know, the flesh is Satan's place. Our body, this world, it is his, you know, it seems to be that's where he roams, right? He roams this world looking for those he can devour, those, you know, that's what he's doing. But just as surely as he's doing that, the church here, we are the spiritual body of Christ, is what we're supposed to be. Amen? We live in the Spirit. You know, God's work depends on a human vessel here on earth. He left us here, a human vessel. You know, it's one of the commentaries I read says, God the Father through God the Holy Spirit displaying God the Son through a human vehicle called the church. This has always been God's plan. You and I are to be that vessel. Amen? Listen to that. We are the vessel of Jesus Christ. What does God say about sin? About living above sin? What does God say about our being in a life of holiness at all times? You know, there's a reason why I believe that some have power and others do not. And what I mean is power in the Holy Spirit. I mean a Spirit-filled life is what I'm trying to say. And it's not that God is a respecter of person, but this power that I'm talking about, this Spirit-filled life, is a direct result of faith. And a faith comes by obedience. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about that. That faith and obedience. There's faith and obedience. They go together. If you have faith, then you'll be obedient. You hear me? I could say that over and over again. 1 John 3:21 says, Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You see, the position and the place of this is a place of faith. It's a place of power. It's hope is available to people without holiness, but faith is not. You hear that? You know, this church, we're called unto holiness. That's why, you know, that's what it means to be called to be holy. If faith were available without holiness, then people who can never see God could have power to ask and receive anything they desire. God's promise to those who have faith is this: all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And I believe that. We pray for people all the time. We pray that they get healed. We pray for the sick. We pray for people, right? We bring people forward in the church, and we anoint them with oil. Do we believe that? We believe in the power that God gives, right? We believe that, right? In faith. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes we want to see a sign, and even the disciples, even the Pharisees, you know, Jesus said, you always look for signs. We always look for signs and wonders. We want to see somebody jump up out of a wheelchair and start running across the parking lot. Yeah, we like to see. I would love to see that, right? We don't always see that because we live by faith. We have faith that in the power of Jesus Christ, and through that faith, we do see people get healed. We do see people spiritually healed. Amen? God also said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. You know, some religions teach that he must sin every day. And I don't believe that. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter 1:6. So real holiness is the Holy Spirit living the life of Jesus through us who believe in God. And if he lives the life of Jesus, us, if you live the life of Jesus, then he will work the works of Jesus through me, through you. Amen? We've heard that before. You know, Jesus is still the same as he was. He's not changed. God hasn't changed. The Word hasn't changed. He's still the same God. And he hasn't come back yet. I hope not. Right? We know, I believe that. He hasn't come back yet. So he's still moving forward. He still needs us, this vessel here. He needs you as a vessel for him to spread the gospel, to be Spirit-filled, living a life directed by his example. Amen? He left a great example for us. Not an easy example, I'll tell you that. Wasn't an easy example, but you know what? It wasn't an easy example for him either. As he was being beat, drugged down the street, spit on, cussed at, nails drove in his hands and his feet, nailed to a wooden cross and left there to suffer. I mean, you know, it wasn't easy for him. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "Awake to the righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame." That's in 1 Corinthians 15:34. Christ is our righteousness. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, it also says Christ is our righteousness. You know, you cannot have power with God when you are asleep. So God is saying to us, wake up. Quit making excuses for the actions, for the sin, and begin to walk in the Spirit, to abide in Christ. That's what we have to do, to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. That's what the Word says. I'm just speaking straight out of the Word this morning. Guys, I'm not making this stuff up. Spiritually asleep Christians are not led by the Word of God or by the Spirit of God. And David said this in Psalms 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." You know, the work of the Spirit is to reprove of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. That's what it says in John 16:8. You know, we must walk in Jesus' steps for the Spirit to reprove sin in the world and of judgment. The Word has to be in our hearts. And if we do not know what sin is, then there is no way that the Holy Spirit can judge it and reveal it in your life. If the Word is in our heart and we are full of the Holy Spirit, before we ever sin, the Holy Spirit will make us aware and we can make the right choice. And that's the difference of a Holy Spirit-filled life. Because if you're living in the Spirit and you're walking with God, when something tempts you and you start to take a step forward, the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, hold on. Hey, stop. Hey." And he keeps saying, "Hey," right? "Hey. No, you didn't." "Oh, no, you won't." Come on now. That's what living in the Spirit is, because we have that Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Spirit of Christ that says, hey, don't do that. Don't do that. We must walk in Jesus' steps. And, you know, let's look at the text again that I was reading. It's in 1 Peter. I've read this, but I'm going to look at the word again here. That's what I'm saying is, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. 1 Peter, again. Those who teach that we cannot live above sin will have their tear. I'm telling you, I don't want to get on that too hard. Jesus knew no sin, and God says to me, follow his steps. That's what he says to me. We must not only talk as Jesus talked, we must walk as Jesus walked. Amen. Galatians 5:16 and 17 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one and another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. There again, that's what the Spirit's like, hey. The opposite of that is if you do not walk in the Spirit, you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. And in verse 19 and 21, he says, in Galatians that is, he tells us that the flesh is this. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revealing such things like of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There it is. Say that three times fast. The works of the flesh listed here, you know, really, they're not present in the lives of those who walk in the Spirit. Come on now. You know, there are those who harbor some of these works of the flesh in their lives, but making very little effort to do anything to overcome them. Verse 21 in Galatians there, chapter 5, it says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's tough, isn't it? You know, I've had a lot of people ask me about drinking, smoking, and all kinds of questions like that. But I tell them, I said, you know, in the Scripture, it doesn't really tell you that drinking a glass of wine or drinking a beer every now and then is going to send you to hell. But what it does say is drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I said, it doesn't debate that. It said a drunkard will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Period. So where does that put you? I'm not asking you guys that. That's why our church stands for abstaining from any, because of what it can lead to. We take a strong stand on that. We take a strong stand on a lot of things in the articles of, you know, in the articles of faith, which I think are good. They're set up for a reason there. You know, if we're not fit for the kingdom of God, then you certainly cannot work the works of the kingdom. Galatians 5:17 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you won't have power to overcome. You'll just live a life of not overcoming. I think most of us, well, I hope all of us here this morning want to be overcomers, right? We want to overcome those thoughts. We want to overcome those temptations. We want to be a people that are overcomers. How do we do that? By living a life in the Spirit. You know, there are things in the life that will prevent God's Holy Spirit power from flowing through the church or through each individual vessel, whether it is a vessel of the first century or a vessel today. And what I mean is, even in the past, the churches in the past and the churches of today, it's all the same. We follow the same God, we follow the same Christ, we follow the same Holy Spirit as what Paul did, as what Peter did. That hasn't changed. The answer to all this is simply one thing. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's Ephesians 4:24. Simple as that. You know, the characteristics of the new man are the very nature of Christ, and the only true holiness of God is this: love, joy, peace, meekness, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and temperance. That's real holiness. The life is God's plan and purpose for us, and it's His purpose for every believer. But we must resist the devil and resist sin. And without these good traits in our life, let me tell you, life is going to be difficult. You know, when we get to the gates, listen to me this morning. I wrote this. It may have been quoted before. It's probably not an original. But this thought came to me. When we get to the gates of that city, they won't ask for your ID. They will look for a resemblance of Christ in your life. And that's your pass into heaven. And I wondered again, too, is when we stand before Him, when you stand before Him, will He see His reflection in you? Or will He say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you. I don't know you. You don't look familiar to me. I've never seen you before." Because let me tell you, what He's looking for is His reflection in you. When you look in the mirror, when people look at me, when people look at me in this community, when people look at me in this world, I want people to see Christ in me, not me. I want them to see Christ in me. And the only way that people will be able to see Christ in me is if I just continue to study and to read and apply all this into my life every day. I have to seek the Lord. I have to live by His example. I have to walk by His example. So I leave you with that. Ponder on that this week. If when people see you, do they see Christ? Or do they see you? Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I know that Your Word is what we need, Lord, in our hearts, which is You. Lord, help us to be strong. Lord, let us live a life of reflection, an example that you've given us. Let every step we take be a step that you made or would take. Help us to be strong. Set aside all temptation. Lord, I praise you. If there's anyone here this morning, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to do its mighty work. Open up the hearts. Cleanse the temple, Lord, right now. Make room for you. Lord, if there's anything that's within me, Lord, that may hinder me from walking a life that you want me to walk, Lord, clean this vessel. Remove anything. Lord, I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.